scramble off South Korea.
Rescue teams frantically searching for any sign of survivors.
Fatal confrontation in Ukraine.
It was the worst day of violence since this insurgency began.
Muscle car milestone.
Everybody was flagging me down to slow down so they could look at the car.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. A desperate search in rough conditions goes on off the coast of South Korea. Nine are known dead, hundreds of others missing in the sinking of a ferry packed with high school students. CBS's Seth Doan has the latest.
The more than 500 divers called to the scene were forced to battle murky waters, strong currents, and low visibility. As the search dragged on, family members of the missing grew distraught. Some confronted authorities and demanded answers. This relative said other parents had received text messages about people trapped inside. The ship's captain apologized while being questioned at the Coast Guard office. I'm really sorry and deeply ashamed, he said. I don't know what to say.
The captain's facing a criminal investigation. Some allege he was one of the first people off the sinking ship. Russia's President Vladimir Putin says he hopes he doesn't have to send troops into Ukraine. In a call-in show on Russian television, which featured a question from NSA leaker Edward Snowden, Putin denies his forces are stirring up trouble. President Obama told CBS News Chief White House Correspondent Major Garrett,
the Russians generally have not been respecting the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Ukraine. And that's not simply my opinion, that's world opinion. The question now becomes whether or not this can be de-escalated and resolved in a way that gives Ukrainians a chance to make their own decisions about their own lives.
Against the backdrop of new talks in Geneva, CBS's Holly Williams reports on a deadly confrontation in eastern Ukraine.
It started with an attack by around 300 pro-Russian separatists, according to an account from Ukraine's government. The Interior Ministry said three militants were killed and 13 injured as they tried to break into the compound and the National Guard opened fire. The base's vice commander told us this morning that his men fired warning shots first, but the separatists fought back with Molotov cocktails.
The third time was the charm for the robotic sub involved in the hunt for the missing Malaysian jet. It was able to complete its mission. The first two were cut short. CBS's Shannon Van Sant has more from Beijing.
Authorities are analyzing samples from an oil slick in the South Indian Ocean and data collected from a U.S. Navy underwater submersible. They will continue searching for wreckage from Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 through Easter weekend. Malaysia's transport minister said the hunt for debris would intensify over the next few days.
In McEwen, Tennessee, west of Nashville, a blast and fire yesterday at an ammunition and explosives plant killed one person, injured three others. Hundreds were forced from their homes for a time in Solvang, California, a tourist spot 100 miles northwest of L.A. An old military ordnance was found. It's now been rendered safe. Well, parts of the upper Midwest are digging out from a foot of spring snow. This woman's in Eagle River, Wisconsin.
Oh, it's pretty insane, honestly. I've had to shovel probably more this year than I've ever had in my entire life. And driving has been difficult. It's been an adventure, but at the same time, it is pretty beautiful.
Rain and snow melt have caused flooding concerns in parts of the Midwest. A wedding and a funeral will be held today in Boston, both with ties to the marathon bombing. Mark Fucarelli, who lost a leg and broke his spine in one of the blasts, marries his fiancée, Jennifer Regan. And CBS's Heather Bosch tells us there's a funeral for a hero cop.
28-year-old officer Dennis Simmons collapsed and died at the Boston Police Academy gym last week. Commissioner William Evans says Simmons was one of the officers who confronted the marathon bombing suspects in Watertown. Evans says the suspects threw explosives at Simmons.
It knocked him off his feet.
Evans can't help but think Simmons' sudden death was linked to that battle.
We think it was an aneurysm or something, but so we're looking at the possibility that could have been related to the marathon, because he was out injured for a long time after.
Simmons was supposed to pick up the top cop award from President Obama next month.
Denver police are investigating if there was a delay in officers responding to a 911 call.
2112 South St. Paul Street, on report of a domestic violence in progress.
44-year-old Christine Kirk was shot and killed 15 minutes into an emergency call to police with officers yet to arrive. Neighbors are stunned.
She was an incredible mom with three incredible children. The only thing that's important is that they're safe, which they are right now.
Kirk's husband is charged with the murder. Police are looking into whether he was using marijuana. For the second time in 3 years, Portland, Oregon is draining millions of gallons of treated water from a reservoir because someone urinated into it. The city water department's David Schaff says it has to be done.
They have an expectation that when I deliver water to their house and they're feeding it to their children, that it doesn't have human urine in it.
A 19-year-old man caught on videotape could face charges in the case. When you download a coupon to buy a product, are you in effect selling your legal rights? Live to CBS's Barry Bagnato.
If for some reason you punch up the legal terms on General Mills' website, you'll see a warning that some rules have changed. Section 3. Any dispute arising out of your purchase or use of any General Mills service or product online or in physical stores will be resolved by informal negotiations or through binding arbitration. Translation, you can't sue. Credit card users have faced arbitration clauses for a while, but consumer advocates say this new effort is to shield companies even when their products are faulty or unsafe. Steve?
Well, an iconic American automobile turns 50. Only Mustang makes it happen. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert takes us behind the wheel in the Motor City.
The unique roar of the Mustang is echoed through a half century of Americana in many variations. When she bought the first Mustang, Gail Wise didn't even know what that car was. She just knew she wanted one.
It was so sporty, and the bucket seats, and the way it looked. It was a young person's car.
Ford has sold more than 9 million Mustangs, with an all-new version coming this fall. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Scientific breakthroughs change our lives all the time. What does the future hold? CBS's Dan Revive takes a look.
Americans are cautious about science fiction that might become science fact. In a Pew survey for Smithsonian Magazine, a split, almost 50-50, on whether we'd like to get to work in a driverless car. Aaron Smith at the Pew Research Center finds
some short-term concerns by the American public about the future of science and technology.
We might lose our privacy. People do want and expect breakthroughs to make us healthier, and this survey finds we'd like the ability to travel through time. Dan Revive, CBS News.
Well, just days after smiling selfies on Palm Sunday, Pope Francis admitted today during a Vatican Mass he goes through times of loneliness and sadness. The Pope will celebrate Easter Mass on Sunday. Later this month, there are canonization ceremonies for two popes, John the 23rd and John Paul II. That's the World News Roundup for Thursday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.